Parshas Shoftim. We would like to discuss, Ezras Hashem, this evening, one or two points concerning the parsha of Eglo Arufo, where the Torah tells us in the beginning of Perek Chof Aleph, Ki motzei cholol bo adomo, the corpse is found in the ground, asher Hashem alikecha noisim lechol erishto, and the problem is, noifel basoda, it's in the middle of the open, loy noida mihikohu, and we have no idea who is the murderer. So as we know, the Torah tells us the whole process. The yotzus, the kinecho, the sheitecho, the elders have to go out. Which ones? V'hoyo ha'ir ha'kreva, it can be the nearest town. They are the ones held responsible. V'lokhu zikne ha'ir ha'hi eglas boko, the elders of that particular town will take an eagle, asher lo yubad bo, which has never been worked. They'll take it to the Nachal Eson, asher lo yeobed bo v'lo yizorea, which will never ever be planted or worked with. And they then announce and they say, we are not responsible. Yodeinu lo yishofku es hadam hazeh, and as we all know, Chazal famously tell us, what does this mean? Was there ever a thought that the Beis Din were responsible? And the answer was, yes, there was, because had they only accompanied him out of town or given him food, perhaps it would have ended differently. And they said, indeed, we did accompany him, and therefore we cannot be held responsible at the end of the day for what happened. That is basically, in a nutshell, the parasha of Eglo Arufo. So we would like, briefly, to discuss one or two points, important points, within this parasha of Eglo Arufo. The Ibn Ezra points out that we point the accusing finger to the closest town. Meaning, this body wasn't actually found within the confines of any town at all. The Torah says quite clearly it was in the Sade, in the open. But we point the accusing finger to the nearest town. So the simple understanding is, because the chances are, statistically, geographically, that if the dead body was found here, probably the murderer comes from the closest town, as opposed to from a far-off area. But the Ibn Ezra says, no, listen to the words of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says, Hashem tzivo la'asos kein, ha'ir ha'kreva. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed the nearest town to accept responsibility. Why? Ki lulei she'osu aveira kedoimim. Because had the closest town not ever been involved in an aveira of this type, meaning, had the closest town, and this town not been a town that involved itself in murder, then lo yinizdamim lohem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never have arranged or allowed she'yehoreg odom koroiv mehem. In other words, it's not just that the probability is that because this town is in closest proximity, so probably the murderer comes from there. No. Rather, if the dead body was found close to this town, how is it that a murder took place close to this town? This must be a murderous city. Were it not to be a murderous city, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have allowed a murder to take place on their doorstep. So it's not just statistically, geographically, mathematically, the chances are that the murderer comes from there. Rather, hashkafically, if a murder took place on their doorstep, then they are held accountable, because how indeed did a murder take place on their doorstep? It would seem to be that they are themselves a murderous city. And this, I think, is very reminiscent of the famous Gemara. We all know that there are six cities of refuge, the six Ori Miklot. Three in Eretz Yisrael, and three Me'eva Le'yarim. Now, mathematically, it doesn't work out. And the Gemara asks this, because there are far more people in Eretz Yisrael than there are outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why was it split evenly when the population is not split evenly? So the Gemara says, because in Gilad is outside of Eretz Yisrael, Nefishi Reitzchim, there's a lot of murderers there. There's a disproportionate amount of murderers in Chutz La'aretz. So what's the obvious question, and everybody asks this? But Ari Miklot doesn't take care of murderers. Murderers are those who killed the maidens. We're dealing with somebody who killed by pure accident. So who's to say that in Gilad, more people there are killed by accident? If you tell me we have statistics that in Gilad there are more murders there, wanton, the maimed murders, fine, I'll accept that. But what's that got to do with Ari Miklot? Ari Miklot is not dealing with those people. Ari Miklot is dealing with those who kill B'shoige, not the maimed. Says the Maharal in Pashas Masse in Gur Aryeh, he says it's true that the two are dependent on each other. Because if you have a town where murder is rampant, like in Gilad, Nefish Yiretzchim, that means in that town there is a lack of significance towards life. They're not machshiv chayim, and that influences everybody around them. Let's not make a mistake. Even the murderer B'shoigeg is held liable to an extent. It's not an oinus. Were it to be an oinus, we wouldn't exile him to Ari Miklot. So why are we sending him to Ari Miklot? He is held partially accountable. He could have been more careful. We're talking about somebody, as the Torah says, who climbed a tree and chopped wood and wasn't careful. And because of that, this accident happens. We can't call him amazed, that's true. But he's not an oinus. He wasn't careful. Why indeed was he not careful? And the answer is because it's in the air of this city. This city is a city in which they do not accord the chashivos that they should towards life. This is a place in Gilad where murder is rampant, and it therefore influences everybody around them. This is the way people cut trees in the city. They do that also without the necessary care and chashivos towards Chaim. So therefore, yes, you need a disproportionate amount of Ari Miklot, because in Gilad there are more murders, and necessarily there are therefore also more murders B'Shoigeg as well. So you see, this is the principle that the Maharal is teaching us. When murder is in the air, then that precipitates other murders. Avera geireres avera. So if a murder took place on the doorstep of a particular city, what are that city going to say? Nothing to do with us. It is something to do with you. It's in the air. It's in the air. This is a town in which there is not enough respect for life. People are not machshiv life the way they should, and that's how a murder ended up on their doorstep. The Rambam, as quoted by a number of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachai, and the Abba Arbanel, they all quote the Rambam. The Rambam is to be found in Moira Nevuchim, who has a fascinatingly interesting look at this whole process of Ari Miklot. This whole process where does the Canaan go down, and it's a whole public ceremony with the Eglas Bokon, by the river, by the field, and a whole public declaration. So they quote the Rambam, and the Rambam says, interestingly, this is a practical way of trying to scout out who the murderer really is. How so? So he explains, Roiv Pa'amim, the Rambam does go with the mathematical probability. The chances are that the Ritzeach comes from the nearest town, notwithstanding the hashkafic look of the Eben Ezra, but practically the chances are, statistically, that the Ritzeach probably comes from the nearest town. So, the Torah says, Loi Noida, we don't know who killed him. That's true, we don't know. But we can somehow limit it. The chances are, a piroi that comes from the closest town. Okay, now we need to whittle that down further still. Who is it in that town? So the Rambam says, what you do is, you do this whole ceremony, the eglon, you break the neck, by the field, etc., etc., in order to encourage people to talk about this. That's why it was done in public. And people begin talking, the chances are that the name will emerge. Not only that, says the Rambam, let's not forget, the Torah says, what happens to that field in which the process of Egla Rufa took place? It's never to be worked on again. Imagine you're the owner of that field. You wouldn't want that to happen to your field. If you were the owner of a field, and you happen to know who the murderer was, and you were perhaps tempted not to disclose the name, but if you see the Bezdin coming towards your field to perform Egel Arufa, you know that your field will now never be used again. That will encourage you to speak. That will encourage you to run and say, whoa, stop, I do know who the murderer is. Leave my field alone. That's how the Rambam runs. The Ramban doesn't like it. That's how the Rambam learns. So either way, we see two different reasons for pointing towards the nearest town. In the opinion of the Rambam, it's pragmatic. Al-Piroi probably is the nearest town. And this whole process is a way of encouraging anybody who might know information to disclose that information. In the opinion of the Ibn Ezra, it's a hashkafic look. If the murderer happens over here, then probably the nearest town are responsible, not just because they're in close proximity, but how did Hashem allow a murder to take place on their doorstep? Now, there is another question that a number of the Mefarshim are very troubled with. Because we must not look at the parasha of Egel Arufa in a vacuum. Let's turn back and let's turn forward. Parashas Shoftim, in the beginning of Perek Chof, which is one Perek before Egel Arufa. The beginning of Perek Chof, Kiseitse lamilchomo al oivecho, which of course reminds us of the same words that appear in the beginning of next week's parashas. If you're a Baal Keira, you've got to be very careful. This is one of the famous mistakes that a Baal Keira can make. In the beginning of Parashas Kiseitse, you're looking for the words Kiseitse lamilchomo al oivecho. One column before it says the exact same words, but it's not Parashas Kiseitse. Either way, what does it say there? So we all know the parasha. This is the parasha that says you go out to war, and then they announce anybody who's just got married, anybody who's just bought a house, anybody who's got a field, has got to go home. Parasha number one. You then move on to Pasuk Yud. Again, it's talking about war. Ki sikrav el ir lehi lochem oleha, when you will now come close to a city too. Do battle, so we have the whole parasha of Sholem and who you can capture, but also a discussion of war. We then move to Pasuk Yutes. Kisatsur el ir yomim rabim lehilochem oleh, when you will besiege a city, obviously at times of war, what trees can you cut down? Yisal Baal Tashris. So the theme is very clear over here. It's all the halachas mishpatei hamilchama. And then you come to our parasha, Ki Yimotzei Cholol Ba'adama Egel Arufa, which has nothing to do with war. You move forward, Egel Arufa is the very last psukim in our parasha, and the beginning of next parasha, Ki Seitz Elam Olchama Aleivech, on the whole parasha of taking captives the Eishas Yifas Toya. So what is the obvious question? How did Egel Arufa find itself in the middle of this whole parasha? We're discussing all the halachas of war, what the shoytrim have to announce, who fights, who goes home, how you besiege, who you can capture, which trees you can cut down, can you now bring back captives, Eishes Yifas Toya, and right there in the middle is the parasha of Egel Arufa. How on earth does that find its place in the middle of the parasha of Melchama? So maybe, it's not the end of the world. A number of Rishonim say, the Chizkuni, the Ibn Ezra, and others, that it's not so different. And after all, Melchama is Zman of Ritzicha, Zman of murder. So it's not completely disconnected from the subject at hand. In the words of the Chizkuni, Achash Hizkir HaMilchama Im HaOyevim, if the Torah is discussing battle with enemies, so then Hizkir Odom Milcham Il Acher, sometimes it doesn't have to be a nation versus a nation, it can be man versus man. That's Egel Arufa. So it's not completely out of place. It's not completely out of place. But what I'd like to share with you is what I saw in the Sefer Keheles Yitzchok. The Sefer Keheles Yitzchok was written by one of the Magidim, I think, in Vilna, about 150 years ago or so, and he collects various droshes that he heard from the great Darshanim in Vilna, and over here he brings from Rabbi Yaakov Mivilna, a tremendously important Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov Mivilna explains, every act that a person does with all the good intentions in the world necessarily will influence him. It has an impact on him. And he explains that when you are going to do battle, and that's what the Torah is talking about, doing battle, if we ask the question, is it mutter? It's not just mutter. On occasion, it's actually a mitzvah to do battle. It's a mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu instructs, there are circumstances in which we must do battle. But nonetheless, we cannot deny the reality, which is fighting and killing is a maisa achzorius. It's an act of cruelty, and that influences a person. And if that influences a person, one needs to know that even if you happen to be compassionate, sensitive by nature, but if you're involved all day long in murder, that's going to influence you. That will make you have a greater propensity towards cruelty. So the Torah steps in. And the Torah says, we know that if you're involved in war, ki seitze la melchoma aleivecho, there exists a chashash that your whole attitude towards life has become diminished. You've become a cruel person, albeit not your fault, through the process of performing a mitzvah, but the chances are that there's more likely now to commit a murder than you would ever have been. Even not at the time of Molchama. Therefore, what does the Torah say? Right there in the middle of the parasha of Molchama, what does the Torah say? Here you are, doing battle, killing hundreds and maybe thousands of people. So therefore your whole sensitivity towards life has become diminished. Says the Torah, one person is killed. Look at the length that the Torah instructs us to go as a reaction to one person losing their life. Nobody should lose their sensitivity towards life. You're busy cutting down trees and you're busy killing people and you're involved in violence and murder. Beheter! Beheter, it's true! But let that not, chas v'shalom, in any way encourage you to become a cruel person. Therefore, right there in the middle, the Torah says, if even one person is found, no, imagine you're a soldier who's killed thousands of people and you see one dead body in a soldier. No, so it's another one. So the Torah, no, that's not the way we look at it. One dead person, that's an oilom mole. That's the whole world. And we're going to bring out the entire Bezdin. The Sanhedrin will leave the Beis HaMikdash, the Lishkas HaGozis. And in a great public ceremony, they will declare that they're not held liable. You see that the value, you see how important the Torah places the emphasis on life. Why is that so important to point out here? Because we're right here in the Pasha, where there is a risk that people's value towards life will be diminished. Says the Keres Yitzchok, that's a beautiful explanation of how Egla Rufa finds its place over here. So he says, I'd like to make an addition. Do you remember the Gemara? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shaul HaMelech to go and wipe out Amalek. Man, woman, child, behemoth, the whole of Amalek has to be wiped out. Timcha Ezeicher Amalek. So the Gemara tells us that Shaul HaMelech starts making a ganze shtikulteir. What's the shtikulteir? One second. He says, I learned from Egla Arufa. That's what the Gemara says. Vayorev banachal. Which nachal? The nachal. Eson from the Egla Arufa. I learned from Egla Arufa how important even one person is. So one second. Why am I killing all of Amalek? Maybe the men have to be held accountable. Why are the women? Why do they have to be killed as well? And what about the animals? So one second, everybody stops and says, because I've got a stroke and told you so. What's the shtickl Torah over here? I learned from Nachla Egla Rufa that the one person's life, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you an instruction. What's going on there? Shaul HaMelech. Shichmoel Lamala. So the Keres Yitzchok explains so beautifully, he wasn't Chas V'Shalom challenging the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had every intention of wiping out Amalek, as he in fact did, except for Agar, and that precipitated the whole Purim story. He did kill out Amalek, and he had no intention of doing otherwise. Shaul HaMelech wasn't concerned about this battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do it, you do it. But what was he concerned about? What will be the day after? What will be the after effects of this battle? If we're going around killing men, women, children, animals, what's going to be the day after? What's going to be the day after? I'm worried that people will become achzorim, albeit better. Albeit better. So Shaul HaMelech wasn't Chas V'Shalom challenging the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who was he addressing over here? He wasn't addressing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He was addressing his soldiers. And he was saying, you know, if the men are guilty but the women are not, he didn't mean to say, therefore don't kill them. What he meant was, therefore be compassionate. Let this not influence you. Don't become achzorim. And that you learn from Egla Arufa. You see that Egla Arufa, one single person loses their life, it's a whole big public ceremony. All of Klal Yisrael are involved. It's true. On occasion, that is what's necessary. On occasion, that's what's necessary. One has to sometimes kill. But let that not influence you, because the teva hadvarim, it will influence you. And it's fascinating, because just in last week's parasha, in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, there it's talking about murder. What does it say? You have a city of the Ir Hanidachas. What's the Ir Hanidachas? Where all, or not all, but Roiv, are serving Avodah Zarah. So who's killed? Everybody. And what's left? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Seraphtos got it. Nothing is left. You've got to go in and kill man, woman, and child. Everything. Nothing is left. Says the Torah in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches, V'nosan lecho rachamim v'richamcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim. What does that mean? You're about to kill Iran and Dachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim. You're not supposed to have rachamim now. Imagine you come to the Irani Dachas and you say, I'm supposed to kill this town, but I have such compassion for you, I have such rachamim. This is not the place for rachamim, that's misplaced rachmalas. So what does the Torah mean, v'nosan lecho rachamim? Do you know what the Oyer HaChaim HaKadosh says? The Oyer HaChaim HaKadosh says, the same Yisoy that we just pointed out. Because if you go around killing, albeit a heter, albeit a mitzvah, maisa hazeh, Yoilid, what will that develop? Teva ho achzorius b'leiv ho adam. People who murder become cruel people, even if they murder with all good intent. He says, as we've heard from the Goyim, the Yishmaelim, even those who have been sent by the king to go and kill people, then become achzorius, and they go and kill where there is no heter to kill. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? I'll give you a special protection. The Nosan Omar Lohem Havtoch. There's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine you're the Shliach Beis Din, and you get a phone call. Today's job, could you please go in there and Dachas and kill 10,000 people? I'll do it because I have to do it. That's what Beis Din told me. But I don't want to become a cruel person. But that's what's going to happen. The Nosan Horachle. That's what it means, the Nosam HaKorachim. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you compassionate, but don't kill them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a special protection that although you're about to commit an act of cruelty, but it won't influence you. A special Haptoch, the Nosam HaKorachim. But without it, what will happen? You will become Achzorim. That's what happens. That's what happens. And doesn't this remind us, who else committed what would seem to be a very cruel murder in the Torah? Pinchas. In public, Cosby, Zimri. And what does the Torah say? What's his reward? You get the bris yisholim. So Mefarshim will explain that's the same thing. Pinchas committed an act of a mitzvah. A tremendous mitzvah. But there would be a concern that what? That would influence him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a special promise. The Bris Yisholim. You'll still be a man of peace. You won't become a man of cruelty. You know, I once heard an interview with the chief executioner in one of the jails in the United States of America. And his claim to fame was that he has put more people to death on death row than anybody in the history of the United States of America. That's his great claim to fame. In America, as we know, they have corporal punishment. And he has been the one to put the most people to death, more than any chief executioner in any jail in America. This was many, many, many years ago. I heard him being interviewed. And of course, they asked him all the gory details about how the person put to death and what, everything you wouldn't want to know. And I remember they asked this executioner, the interviewer said to him, I need to ask you a question. Just tell me, when you put somebody to death, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night? It's true, we're talking about the lowest of the lowest. We're talking about Tzadikim Gemurim who was put to death. But nonetheless, how do you fall asleep at night? This person could be a family man, could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a mother, a parent. How do you sleep at night? I'll never forget, you know what his answer was? He was almost surprised at the question. He says, how do I sleep at night? I sleep like a log. That was his answer. I sleep like a log. Shumbaya! No problem at all. That's what the Erechaim is telling us. A person commits 10, 20, 50, eventually has no impact on him. Doesn't influence him. Killing it like swatting a fly. He says, I sleep like a log. He's become a cruel person. He's lost his sensitivity to life. Rav Moshe Feinstein says in a tshuva, if anybody wants to look this up, Igros Moshe, Choshen Mishpot, Chelek Beis, Siman Mem Zayin. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, are you allowed to kill a fly? A wasp? Or some other creature that is disturbing you? Not to my sakon. It says a sakon, obviously, it's not a discussion at all. So what was the shayla there? The whole halachic discussion. What's the discussion? Tzar bal chayim, bal tashchis. So Rav Moshe discusses it, and he says, no, leka shum issa. There's no issa whatsoever. This fly, this bee, this whatever it is, snake, even if it's not dangerous, it's causing you tzar, absolutely no problem whatsoever to kill it. Leka issa tzar bal chayim, no problem at all. He says, after all, I mean, the Torah has permitted shchita. Maybe we shouldn't shecht animals because it's cruel to animals. There's some people who believe that. Does Rav Moshe, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. So there's no issa of tzar bal chayim, there's no issa of bal tashchis. Says Rav Moshe, avol mikol mokom, nonetheless, im efsha, toiv sheloi yehorgeim biyodov mamash. He says, I can't paskin la halacha, it's mutzvah. If you're asking a halachic shayla, is it tzar bal chayim? No, it's not. Is it bal tashchis? No, it's not. Am I allowed to kill it biyodayim? Yes, you are. Toiv, says Rav Moshe, it's best not to kill it biyodayim. Elo al yedei hanochas dova ha-horgen. Try and set up, I don't know, a trap or whatever it is, but not to kill them biyodayim. In Eshe, he says, if possible, it's not always possible. Why? So listen to these words. Because we see, he says, kesha oise odom maisa achazorius. Because when a person is involved in a cruel act, even though it's permissible, Rav Moshe says, I reiterate, it's mutter. Afilu le'elu shechayovim lahorgim alchiv psak din. The Beis Din said, you've got to put somebody to death. What happens? Hutzru hakra. Didn't we just need a posuk? Liting haptocha sheyiten lohem rachamim. V'irani dachas. And he quotes the Erechaim HaKadosh we just mentioned. Why, says the Erechaim, does the Torah need to give a promise of rachamim? Because if you don't have that special promise, the chances are you will become an achzori. Why will you become an achzori? I'm killing behetza. Not just behetza, it's a mitzvah. V'irani dachas. And you see the Torah goes out of his way to give this person special protection. Because otherwise it will influence him.
And therefore he says, best. He says, Zvuvin. Zvuvin is a fly. Achborim is a mouse. He says, it's best. Yesh lahorgan aladei hamnochas eiz advorim. And he concludes the tshuva, v'ach shaloi motzoti zeh befeirush. He says, I haven't found this in any other source. There is a mokim, but toiv lehisnaik kin. It's a good way to act, but mokim desh. Obviously, if it's not possible, it's not possible. And in conclusion, let us just finish with the famous words of the Navi of Yehuda. The Navi of Yehuda, 250 years ago, was asked, are you allowed to go hunting? He was asked, halachic shaila. Are you allowed to go hunting, go into the forest and kill animals? To do what with the animals? Nothing, just to kill them. So again, he was asked, halachic shaila. Is it Tzavar Chaim? Is it Bal Tashris? And he has a whole lengthy tshuva. Less pay, no problem of Tzavar Chaim, and there's no problem of Bal Tashris, and a whole lengthy tshuva until you get to the last paragraph. What does the last paragraph say? It says in Eish Behuda, Ad kan dibarnu mitzad hadin. Until now, everything we've discussed is the dry letter of the law. There's no Tzav Bal Chaim, there's no Bal Tashris. But, he says, oh no, Ma'oid anitomo. I'm amazed, he says, al guf hadavar. He says, I've given you the answer, but I don't understand the question, he says. Loi motzinu ish tzayid. We've never found a precedent for people going hunting, besides for two people, Nimrod and Esav. Ain't there darkei b'nei Avram, Yusuf v'Yaakov? That's not a way of a Jew, to go hunting, killing animals just for a hobby. Do you know halachically brings the Ramah? If you get new shoes, you don't wish somebody to schadish. Why not? Because it comes from leather, from the skin of an animal. An animal has to die to provide you with shoes. Don't wish to schadish, after all, we're merachim on the animal. The eich yomes. Ish Yisraeli, how does a Jew kill biyodayim, balei chayim, animals, b'li shum tzairach, without any need? Look at what he's going to Shechta to eat. Rak, chemdas zmanoi, just for a hobby. That's not a darke Ish Yisraeli, that's Nimroi, that's Esau. He says, if somebody needs it for his parnosa, if somebody is a shoycher, if somebody needs food, that's a different question. But to go around killing animals for no reason, he finishes the tshuva and he says, V'lochein. Halachically, is it mutter? It's mutter. Hashemei Ali, if you really want to listen to me, he says, I would advise you, stay at home. That's what he says. Yishkoin betach b'beisei v'lo ya'abed zmanoi b'dvarim kele. Don't waste your time with this. But in light of what we've said before, it's not just that it's a waste of time. But rather, it develops a tendency of cruelty. It develops a tendency of cruelty. If you go around killing animals, even a shochet will necessarily have to be careful about not becoming a cruel person. Kal v'chomer, if you're killing the animal for no reason other than because you're bored. I've got nothing to do this afternoon, so let's go to the forest and go deer hunting. That necessarily influences a person. And that's what we're seeing in the Iran and Dachas. That's what we saw with Pinchos. That's what we're seeing in the opinion of Ramesha Feinstein, even killing a fly. And that, says the Keheles Yitzchok in the name of Rabbi Yaakov in Vilna, is how the parish of Egla Arufa finds itself in the middle of all the parishes of Milchama. Right, left and center. We're talking about Milchama, Milchama, Milchama. So we ask, how does Egla Arufa come in the middle? The answer is, you soldiers are going out and you're performing a tremendous mitzvah. It's true. Nobody denies that. But albeit that it's a mitzvah, one has to be careful, because that mitzvah can make you a cruel person. So says the Torah, I'm going to teach you the value of life. Look at Egla Rufa. One person gets killed. Well, what might you say? Well, I'm going to say that I've killed thousands in my life. I sleep like a log. The Torah doesn't sleep like a log. The Torah sends out the entire Sanhedrin. They leave the base of Midosh. A phenomenal public ceremony. Why? Because one person lost their life. That's the way that we value life. That's the way we value life. Goyim don't value life. They have no chashivus for chayim.
But we value life. We are the nation that value life. And therefore, even on occasion where life needs to be taken, also always be on guard. Whether one is killing human beings, men, women, children, or whether it be animals, or in the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, even a fly, one has to be on guard. That can develop a cruelty, develop a middle of achzorius, and that is the lesson of the parasha of Eglah.